There was once a man who walked in to Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank Tzal's shul. He was the Rav Rashi of Yerushalayim, and he was about to daven mincha. The man walked in, shorts, tank top, no yarmulke. This is one of the Yerushalmi shuls, the intense Yerushalmi shuls, place where there's beard, payas, maybe not even a short jacket. And in walks a man without any kippah, without any long pants, without a jacket, not even a regular shirt. Everyone has no idea what's going on. More than that, he goes up and asks, who's the gabbai? So he points to a certain man. He says, I would like to daven for the amud and say kaddish. The gabbai has no idea what to say. He couldn't believe such a request would come out of the person's mouth. He thought maybe the man would ask for water, some cake, not to say kaddish, not daven for the amud. And he quickly runs to the Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, the Rav, and he says, well, let me ask the Rav what to do. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank looks at him, and he says, okay, get him something and let him daven. The Gabbai goes back, they find a piece of cardboard, the man goes up, davens for the Amud, and says Kaddish. Next week again, the man comes back again, this time with one of the Kotel, kippahs on his head, the white ones. Same thing. They already know the drill. They let him daven. A couple of weeks later, he comes back like something else. And a couple of months later, a man walks in. With a beard, kippah, jacket, regular Haredi look. And he says, could I daven? And I say, sure. Why are you even asking? If you want to go and daven, go and daven. He says, don't you recognize me? No, why would I recognize you? The man said, what do you mean? I came in here a few months ago without a kippah, without pants, without a proper shirt. That was me. The gabbai looks at him, that was you? He says, what happened? He says, you guys, the fact that you let me daven, that's it, it changed my life. I have to tell you the following story, said the man. He said that when his mother was passing away, she was a religious lady, and he was not religious. And she said, when I pass away, can you please, please, please go and say Kaddish for me? Daven for the Amud for me. And he says, okay, I'll do it. She said, you're not doing it for me. You're doing it for Yiskada Viskada Shmei Rabba. You're doing it to make Hashem's name greater in the world. It's bigger than me, but please just make me this promise. So he said, I'll do it. He said, the condition was that whatever shul he walks into has to let him. If they don't let him, then he's not going to do it. So he chooses which shul's not going to let me do it. He thinks the most Haredi, the most intense, the most Yerushalmi shul, they're not going to let me say Kaddish. So he walks in, specifically without his kippah, specifically in his shorts, specifically in his tank top, and asks them, in the slight hope they would say no, or in the large guess they would say no, and then he would be absolved of his obligation to his mother. And to his shock, they said yes. The gabbai standing there, seeing how his one yes from the Rav changed this person's life. And the man asked, why did you say yes? So they went to the Rav. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank explained, when he looked at this person, he said he felt something different. And now when he heard the story, he knew that this person had in him a true desire. He wasn't playing games. He was coming from an honest place, deeper than himself, beyond himself, bigger than himself. That his true neshama was calling out at that point. Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank said, what caused this? Your mother's tefillas. Your mother's tefillas ignited in you that spark which I saw in you, even though you really, in your external self, didn't want to come. Your internal self was calling out, and I saw that. And due to that, this man had a full path of chozer b'tshuva. The lesson here is absolutely clear. The koyach of tefillah is unbelievable. But there's something deeper. That every single Jew has his true self, the real him, the ultimate him, which is calling out at all times, which is saying, please reignite me. Let me come close to my Creator. Align with me. And that's what this man did at that time. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, one of the Gedolei Ador, saw it. And he let the spark ignite. This is the hidden foundation in Parshas Korach. You come to Parshas Korach as Vayikach Korach, Korach took. Chazal discuss, what does it mean Korach took? What did he take? He took bad advice. If Flugi separated himself, there are many different understandings of what Korach did. But if you look at the simplistic Lashon, what is Vayikach? What's he took? A very strange Lashon, language, way of expressing what Korach did. And if you look at what he did, was ultimately, we know, that he had a machloikes sheloi l'shem shemayim. The mission of us defines what his sin was, and that sin was that his dispute was not for the sake of heaven. What was it for? Chazal tell us that he saw what happened to his cousin, who was also l'gedula, and he said, why am I not becoming kohen? He wanted kavod. Now, is kavod a bad thing? No, kavod is not a bad thing. The Yerushalmi and the Gemara and Erevin tell us that ultimately, if a person runs towards kavod, then kavod runs away from him. But if he runs away from kavod, kavod runs to him. So if you say kavod's a bad thing, then why, if you run away from kavod, does kavod run after you? It's a punishment? Because I don't want kavod, Hashem punishes me? Obviously, there's a deep understanding. And that understanding is that kavod is intrinsic to the soul of a man. Your honor, your feeling of dignity, of wholesomeness, is intrinsic to who you are. After the chet of Adam and Chava, the Chazal tell us that they were dressed in kasnas kavod. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took clothing and garbed them in it, and they're called clothing of honor. Honor is intrinsic to the man. It's not a bad thing. When is it a bad thing? When it's my honor is coming to put other people down. I feel I'm big and you're small. Feeling like an honorable person is what we want. We are a special people. We have neshamas. We're above, uplifted, and holy. For sure we should feel honorable. But that honor can't come at the cost of an aviyat chas v'shalom. That's the bad part of honor. So Korach was an unbelievably great person. He was someone who was a pikeach, as I'll tell us. He was of the Levium. He was a great, great man. But something took him the wrong way. Vayikach Korach. It got him. Fluge says the Targum. It separated him. It separated him from what? Himself. What kind of honor was it? An honor which has to bring down Moshe Rabbeinu. It was not an honor that was good. It wasn't an honor which became whole with himself, which uplifted him and those around him. It was an honor which was going to take other people down. It says the greater a person becomes, so too his Yetzer Hara becomes greater. So when Korach saw what was going on, and he saw his wife telling him certain things, he should have realized right away, this is not a true honor. It's not the right honor. It's not the correct honor which is going to bring me up, because it's bringing Moshe Rabbeinu down. It's going to cause a machlekes. So where was the mistake of Korach? That he separated himself. Separated himself from what? From his ultimate self, from his true self, from the real him. That's why he got Korach. Korach took himself away from who? Himself. This is the whole entire story encapsulated right in the beginning of the Parsha. That Korach said, I'm going to take myself away from me, from the spark in me, from the light in me, from the positivity in me. I'm going to do something which is the wrong kind of honor. The honor which creates machlekes. So this is the opening line of the Parsha, and it's the whole entire crystallization of the concept the Parsha is trying to tell us. That Korach's failure, his mistake, what took him down, was the fact that he disaligned himself with the real him, and that caused other people to go down, machlekes, fire, the ultimate punishment of getting swallowed up in the ground, both according to some opinions. And that principle is so deep, so real, that a person has to align themselves with the appropriate parts of themselves, the healthy parts of themselves, the good parts of themselves. Never, chas v'shalom, give in to their negative desires, desire for honor, for the bad kind of honor, to put someone else down. This is the start of the Parsha. And this foundation of aligning with yourself runs through the whole Parsha. You move on to the topic of Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram are the bad guys, seemingly, if you look throughout the Torah. They're the start of Moshe Rabbeinu running away from Mitzrayim. A Mitzri comes and is beating a Jew. Moshe Rabbeinu kills the Mitzri. Who tells Paro about that instance? Dasan Aviram. Who went out to get the money? Dasan Aviram. Who, when Moshe and Aaron came to speak to Paro the first time, and it caused the Jews to have harsher work, harsher conditions, more difficulty, who went up and stood against Moshe and Aaron? Dasan Aviram. Dasan Aviram are constantly the bad guys. Who stayed with Paro after the Jews left? And stayed in Mitzrayim with Paro by his right hand. Dasan Aviram. Dasan Aviram consistently are the bad guys in the story. If so, how do we understand the Chazal in the beginning of the Parsha that say, why were Dasan Aviram taken into Kairach? You think because they're the bad guys. They're the guys who are always causing all the trouble. They're the rabble rousers. So how did they get caught up in it? You think because they're the bad guys. Chazal tell us, no. It's because they were in Bnei Reuven. Bnei Reuven were next to Shevet Kehas. And it says, Shachin Ra, a bad neighbor. If you are next to a bad guy, you get affected negatively. So why were Dasan and Aviram caught up in all this? Because they were next door to Karach. What would have been if they weren't next door to Karach? Chazal are clear. They would never have been involved in the Machlekas. How do we understand that? They're the bad guys. They're the negative ones. They're the ones always going against everything. What are Chazal teaching us with this? Why do they tell us Shachin Ras with Dasan and Aviram? Don't tell me that. I know why Dasan and Aviram are negatively affected. Dasan and Aviram are negatively affected because they are the bad guys. Why are Chazal telling me? It's because of Shachin Ra. And more than that, Moshe Rabbeinu tries to stop Kairach. And then who does he run to when he can't stop Kairach? Chazal say that he was always trying to stop the Machlekes. He's important to stop Machlekes. So he went to Dasan and Aviram. Dasan and Aviram, Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you doing? You're the smartest of all men. You know to not to deal with these guys. They're the ones always going against you. Why are you running to them? What's going on? You go further on in the Parsha. All the way to Pasuk Kaveh, right before everyone gets destroyed and everyone gets eaten up. Who do they go to? Dasan and Aviram. Moshe Rabbeinu, yet again, with Aaron and this Canaan, go to Dasan and Aviram. Moshe, what are you doing? You're taking to the Canaan to go to Dasan and Aviram, trying to convince them? They are the bad boys on the block. What is going on? How do we understand that? The answer is Dasan and Aviram, we find in Chazal, in the Mefarshim, have two unbelievable character traits. One, the Maor Diskin, and that's Yosef, and the Midrash explain that Dasan and Aviram were the Shoiter Mitzrayim. The Shoiter Mitzrayim took beatings for Klal Yisrael, and they got tremendous reward because of that. In addition, they got out of Mitzrayim despite the fact that 4/5 of Klal Yisrael died in Makos Choshech, in the plague of darkness, because 4/5 didn't want to leave, so therefore they died. How did Dasan and Aviram make it out? Dasan and Aviram were even in Mitzrayim after the Jews left. How did they make it out? They should have died in Makos Choshech. Explains the Rush al Teira that Dasan and Aviram never gave up hope. That means they knew they weren't good. They knew they had challenging parts. They knew they had horrible desires. And they gave in to them. But they said, Hashem made a promise that He's going to take us into the Holy Land. Hashem's going to take care of us in the Midbar. He's going to give us the Torah. We're not giving up on that promise. We know Hashem is Avinu Shebashamayim. We know Hashem's here for us. These two qualities, one aligning with Klal Yisrael, being Moser Nefesh for them, taking beatings for the Jews, and two, never losing hope in Hashem, having hope in you, allowed them, despite all their challenges, despite all their difficulties, despite all their Averus, to continue on in the Midbar, to keep going. After Avera, after Avera, after Avera, they knew Hashem still believes in me. No one is Nidach, as it says in Shmuel Beis. There's no Jew which is pushed away. So Moshe Rabbeinu, in this week's Parsha, we see the way he acted with them. We see that, why did they get involved in this? They would have gone into Eretz Yisrael. They would have made it if they weren't next to Kairach. Kairach pulled them in. And in Parshas Pinchas and in Tehillim, it says that Das and Aviram are the Adas Kairach. We define them as Adas Aviram. Why is it defined as Adas Aviram? Because Kairach was the starter. He had the fire. But does a fire exist without fuel? No, Das and Aviram came and pushed the fire forward. They chucked in all the starter wood. They chucked in the heavy logs. They were the fuel. They made everything go. Without them, the Machlaikis wouldn't have happened. But if they weren't next to Kairach, they would never have given those sticks. They would never have given that fuel. They would never have given that dynamite to explode this whole thing up into oblivion. Why did Chazal tell us they were next door? Again, they were the causative we see. But if they weren't next door, they wouldn't have been the causative. We see that they would have aligned themselves with their true self. And then it says, Das Navira. Kairach had that same Kairach of taking away himself from himself, aligning himself with his negativities, with his negiyas, with his bad desires. He did that Dustin Aviram too. He got them in the wrong place. And then they lost their hope. They lost sight of the Messiah's Nefesh of Klal Yisrael because they created a period in Klal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, despite all this, said, you guys only got caught up because you were next to Kairach. That's it. That's what happened to you. You can leave it. Don't worry, Dustin Aviram. You can come back. Forget about the past. You can do tshuva. Like Rabbeinu Bechaya says, that there's no oven. And Chazal tells us there's no sin. There's nothing that you could do. No rishus in the world that Hashem doesn't want your tshuva. There's nothing. You have to tell to yourself, there's nothing that you can do to push Hashem away from you that He won't stick out His hand. Hashem will always stick out His hand to you as long as you stick out your hand to Him. That's the ultimate lesson. So Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, doesn't have Yiram. You only got caught up in this because you were neighbors to Kairach. Yes, you fueled the fire. But you can still leave. They ignore him. They're about to get destroyed. Moshe Rabbeinu goes back to them again. And says, Zasa Naviram, you can come back. Please come back. You're here with me. Just take a step away from all this. And they didn't heed the call. They didn't heed the call. And therefore they fell to oblivion. In our lives, we all have to heed the call. Hashem always sends us messages. Come back to yourself. Get up. Know who you truly are, which is Aneshama Tahira. Achel Gogai Mimal. Something which comes from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, living with the vitality and the light of Hashem, an emissary of light in this world. Always take the call when Hashem's calling out to you. You go on in the Parsha, and there's a B'nai Kairach. We don't hear about them. We don't know about them. Parsha Pinchas. It says, B'nai Kairach Lo'emesu. Is after the whole event of Kairach, who didn't die as sons? How did his sons not die? How did they not get swallowed up? Their mother, their father, they had all the trauma in the world. All the bad parts coming at them. Their whole foundations were ripped up by Machlaikas. So how did they not die? And Torah makes a point of it. They didn't die. The ground swallowed up and they had a little stool to step on to be saved from Gehenna. And according to some of Farshim, the Mamash came out completely out of the ground. So what happened? How did they not die? And why are Chazal, why is the Torah pointing that out and explaining it to us? What's so key about that? And to appreciate this question, you really have to understand how bad the waves were over here. The waves of Machlaikas, the waves of negativity, the draw to it. How powerful Kairach was. It says the babies were swallowed up in the ground with their mothers if they were in Kairach's camp. So the question is, what did the babies do? The babies are sitting, eating, playing. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't have any machlekes. Explain to Chaim Shmulevitz that the babies were in the camp of machlekes. It was in their bones, in their flesh, in their DNA, machlekes. And if they would grow up, they would become bile machlekes and destroy Klal Yisrael yet again. So Hashem said, I'm saving you from yourselves, babies. You're going to get swallowed up in the ground so you don't become something worse later in life. Right now we look at you and we save you from yourself, which is a tremendous life lesson in life in general. We want to save a person from themselves. Hashem will do things to us in our lives which seem difficult, which seem harsh, which seem not fair, because He's really saving us from ourselves. We would go into X situation, X business deal, X car, X school, X friend group. It could bring us down. Hashem says, I'll save you from yourself. I won't give you that thing which you want so much. That's what Hashem did to these babies. That they were little babies. And they were going to become Balei Machlaikas. Hashem said, I will save you from yourself. Because it's embedded in your bones. So So we see a horrible machlekes is. We see how powerful machlekes is. We see how strong the pull is to machlekes. And what happens? His children somehow get past it? What's going on? How did they do that? So Chazal tell us that when they saw Moshe Rabbeinu going to Dustin Aviram, trying to pull them up, trying to help him, trying to lift him, they realized what was going on. And they did tshuva because of that. They saved themselves. They said, Moshe Rabbeinu is coming to save Dustin Aviram. He's coming to save all of us. We have to separate ourselves from this. That means they were in the most torrential machlekes. Their mother, their father were the starters. They could have easily said, no, our parents are right. Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. We're not getting out of this. We're not moving. But Chazal tells us they did tshuva. Hiruei tshuva. They thought of tshuva. They want to come back to Hashem. That makes a person a tzaddik. And why is it so critical here to tell us that? Because in the worst machlekes, in the worst pull, in the most manipulative parents, which is such a difficult thing, it's so unhealthy, people with manipulative parents can know, it ruins you. And they were able to pull out of it. Why were they able to pull out of it? Because they saw Moshe Rabbeinu going to Dustin Aviram. They saw him trying to attach to the real parts of Dustin Aviram, to the true selves, the ultimate selves, the nefesh in them, the neshama, the high parts. When they saw that, they said, okay, we are going to touch that part. We want to come back to Kodesh Baruch Hu. We want to do tshuva. And that's where they got saved. This is the whole lesson of the Parsha. It's the whole building up. From Koyach to Dustin Aviram, he took away from himself. Dustin Aviram, we keep going after them despite their horrible rishos. Why? Because a Yid is always connected to himself, to his depth, to his reality. He just has to reach it. He has to feel it. He has to meditate upon it. He has to do spiritual actions which align with it. If we walk around with this knowledge of the ultimate us, the true us, the holy us that's full with light, that spreads light, is the real me, then we will live a higher, better, and uplifted life. We'll be able to uplift those around us. And the end of this story is that the machtois, the 250 men, came and served the keteris, served the different spices up as a flame. And what happened? They all got burned alive. You think these guys are done. They're finished. They're toast. But it says, Vaidishu, they made me holy. What does that mean? They made Hashem holy. Explain the Mefarshim, it's given the Midrash, that the fire which burned up these 250 men was the fire that burned up Nadav and Avihu. And that fire came from the Kodesh Kedoshim. It came from the Eil Moed. It was the holy of holy fires. Why? Because their desires are really good. The Nesiv Shalom explains, they had their problem was they had a positive desire to attach to Hashem in a selfish way. The goal of a Kohen, and the goal of every Yid, because the Mamlechas Kohanim, Goy Kodesh, were all Kohanim, is to help other Jews, is to take my spirituality and say it's for others. That's what the Torah tells us. We have to be like Kohanim, which I'm trying to help other people. That's what Aaron HaKohen's whole entire Metzias was. So these people want to come be Kohanim. They can't. Because just like another one of you, as the Meshech Chacham explains, they wanted spirituality for themselves and not to affect the Klal, which is a very, very high level thing. That's an unbelievable desire. But it's not for the Kohanim. They all get burned up. It's not a Klal Yisrael idea. And they all get burned up. Vaikdishu, they make Hashem holy. Hashem saying, yes, you had the wrong intentions, but I'm looking at your positive desire. The Midrash explains that again, their whole entire essence was burned up by the fire of the Kodesh Kedoshim, which means that they're living or they're dying for holiness. And the Midrash explains, and the Shachar Torah explains, that they cause other people to do tshuva. They cause a Kiddush Hashem. The Nitziv says, it's me'eis Hashem. It was mechabed Hashem, me'odin Hashem, because they had a burning desire to attach Hashem. So you can choose to look at that story and say, no, what were they doing? They got burnt up out of Kairach. The Torah tells, Vaikdishu made me holy. They experienced poryonis, they experienced challenges, and they made Hashem holy. They suffered for what they did, and then we look at their positivity. They brought light into the world. They caused others to do tshuva. They came back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Impurity. And that's the lesson of the whole parsha. We look at these people and what do? With their vessels, we cover them as beyachanim. That means they have a schus for eternity. that the altar, the Mizbeach, where we serve our sacrifices, is covered with their vessels. Why? Because they had ultimately positive desires. And that's what Hashem wants us to look at. That we have to understand that they were trying to do something good. It wasn't perfect. So we learn the positivity. They had a burning desire attached to Hashem. And we also learn to sift out what we can learn from it. That we have to try and help the klal with all of our actions. And every time we look at the Mizbeach, they're getting a schus. That we look at the Mizbeach, we look at the altar, and we say, our sacrifices, our Judaism, our Torah is for one thing. To help Klal Yisrael in a totality. And that was because the lesson here is the same. That we're looking at the Yid's neshama. We're looking at the Yid's positivity. We're never saying someone is lost. They're burnt up by which fire? By the fire of the Kodesh Kedasha. Pulling back to our story. Pulling back to Kairach. Pulling back to Dasan Aviram. Pulling back to these 250 men. The lesson is blatantly clear. There is no Yid who's ever lost. The Torah does not want us to forget that we are pure souls. Every single Jew should never ever think that his negative parts, his vayikach koirach, his negative desires, his desire for a bad kavod is him. Your negative desires are not you. Your bad actions are not you. Your failures are not you. You are the portion of you which is holy, light, and pure. And you can always come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is reaching out His hand to you at all times. All He wants you to do is grab His hand. So that means whatever difficulty you're facing, you're crying because you don't feel like you have Muna HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're crying because you're not Baal Midas enough. You're crying because you don't do enough mitzvahs. Hashem says, don't look at those things. Look at your positivity. The whole entire goal of the Yitzhara is to get you to look at the Vigach Kairach. Vigach, He took Himself. He took His bad parts, His bad side for COVID. And the Yitzhara says, look at that part of you. It says that when the Rishayim die, and when the Tzadikim die, one thing will happen. The Rishayim will look at the Yitzhara and see a little hair. The Tzadikim will die and look at the Yitzhara and see a mountain. The Rishayim will say, what, this is all the Yitzhara was, a little hair? Because in their lifetime, the Yitzhara made them look at any challenge and see it as a mountain. So that's how they knew Him. They looked at all the difficulties, all their negativities, and said, I'm not the greatest guy, I'm the worst guy, I can't do it. And everything seemed like a mountain. They would understand that each thing is an individualistic step and they can attach their neshama, their positivity, their kayach. They would soar up to levels they never knew. So the goal is, again, a Yid doesn't look at the negativity. You have to know which things are bringing you down and be realistic about yourself and know yourself. But you are a source of light, positivity, and Hashem is always sticking out His hand to you. We should all be zeich b'ezras Hashem to, in every difficult situation and every not difficult situation, to reinforce in ourselves that we are a neshama, that we're not the vayikach koirach, we're not the negative parts in us. We are a holy messenger in this world for Hashem. And we have unlimited potential.